2 Timothy chapter 3 says the Word of God is helpful. And I don't know, how long we spend doing that? 10, 15 minutes? And there were very few words from God spoken in this place. Words that you found helpful. Now, if somebody said some of these and you thought, man, that would help me, I wish I knew where that was, go ask that person. You know? You could ask me, I'd be glad to help, but I think you ought to ask the person that said it. Ask the person that said it because it'll make them go find it again. It'll be a good exercise for them. Besides, I'm old and I'll forget. But the words, did you hear how many people said things that they had found in the Word of God that helped them? That's what the Bible is for. It's not about yelling at you. It's not about restricting you. It's not about cramping your style. It's not about robbing you of your joy. In fact, it's meant to increase your joy. It's meant to bless your life. It's meant to help you. It's meant to save and teach, rebuke, and correct you. But look at the last one. 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, this Word of God that's inspired by God, God-breathed, that's helpful for teaching and for rebuking, correcting, is also helpful in what's the word? Training. Now that's an interesting word. Training is different than teaching. What's the difference between teaching and training? What's the difference between teaching and training?
Teaching is telling, training is showing.
All right. Teaching is telling, training is showing. What's the difference between teaching and training?
Training, you're learning.
You're learning it. What's the difference between teaching and training?
Acting it out.
Acting it out. What's the difference between teaching and training?
You already know it. That's when you put the most effort into something.
You put the most effort in it. You've heard it. Now you want to use it. That's what's interesting is the Bible was not written. God's Word was not written just to tell us stuff. It was meant to train us. That's what He says. You can read God's Word and learn not just what He wants you to do, but how. One more time. Not just what He wants you to do, but how He wants you to do it. Now, there's lots of places in the Bible you could read. I'm going to pick one, okay? I'm just going to pick one. We're just going to take a quick run through of this, just get you started. But there are things in my life that I want to be like Jesus, but I just don't know how. So I ask Him, Lord, how do I become more like Jesus? How do I deal with this? How do I develop that? Well, the Word of God is meant to train us. So, where would you start, you think? My suggestion is start with one of the Gospels. Start with one of the Gospels. Find the red letters and find the book of Luke. The book of Luke. In Luke chapter 3, it gives a record, a historical record of Jesus being baptized. There are people sitting in this room right now that don't know how to start rebuilding their lives. They don't know how to start moving away from the past and beginning a new life. Well, Jesus gave us an example here that you can follow. Maybe it's time for you to put your faith in God and obey God, obey the Father, just like Jesus did. And the same kind of thing, well, when Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened and He heard the voice, "This is My Son." God acknowledged Him as His Son. That's exactly what will happen to you. God will acknowledge you as His Son. God will acknowledge you as His daughter when you make that decision and obey His command. In Luke chapter 4, you see Jesus out in the wilderness. He's 40 days hungry and Satan is pushing on Him, pulling on Him, working on Him, lying to Him. And He battles Him for 40 days in that temptation. And these are things that are hard for Jesus to overcome. I mean, 40 days hungry? How hungry is that? I get 40 minutes hungry. I have a headache. Jesus was 40 days hungry, and Satan said, "Hey, you want to prove to me you're the Son of God? I tell you, I know the story about when you were baptized that somebody spoke that said you're his son. But you really want to prove it to me? I tell you what you do. You take those stones and turn them into bread." Could Jesus have done it?
Yes.
Did Jesus want to do it?
Yes,
I'm so glad you said yes, because it says he was tempted. The temptation can't take place unless he had a desire. And the moment the devil said bread, I'll bet you, though I don't bet, what happened to Jesus' mouth?
Water.
Started to water. And he's not thinking about bread like what I have to buy. Plastic wrap, you know, could be fresh, could be stale. Enough preservatives to last beyond my lifetime, right? Boy, when he hears bread, he thinks mama bread. Mama kneading the dough, smelling that dough rise from the yeast, her putting it out in that outdoor kiln, watching it bake until it got brown crusty on the outside, and then she'd bring it out and she'd tear it open and steam would come out, and you'd get some butter and put it on it. It's been about since I had lunch, breakfast, 40-minute hungry. His mouth started watering just like yours. I imagine his stomach started cramping. He wanted bread, and what did he do? He said no. Do you want to know how to... Some of you have temptations that have turned into addictions. Some of us have temptations that have turned into bad habits. There's a difference. Some of us have temptations that have created grief in our lives. You want to know how to overcome some of those? Jesus can teach you. Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad we've got AA. I'm glad we've got self-help books. I'm glad we've got people that can advise us and help us and encourage us. I love that. But if you watch Jesus, He'll teach you how to overcome that. He doesn't listen to the lie. He refuses the lie and hangs on to what's truth. That's my problem, isn't it yours? Because the lie, he's telling me it won't hurt this one time, or nobody will know, or what could be wrong with this? But if I listen to the lie, I end up in trouble. If I listen to the truth, I stay out of trouble. Jesus will teach us how to deal with that. Read these words and watch Jesus deal with those same kind of urges, those same kind of impulses, and watch Him overcome. He'll teach you, He'll train you how to overcome temptation. Keep reading. Look in Luke 7, and we're not going to look at the entire book. We don't have that time. But it's a good thought, a good start, isn't it? Luke 7. Jesus had more places to go, more things to do than anybody I know. And one day while he was walking down a road, he saw a widow in a funeral procession going to the cemetery with the coffin of her son, her only son. Now, the moment I say widow, what do you know? She's made this trip before, right? She followed another coffin out there one day, and it was her husband. And now she's following her only son. That puts her as alone. Now, folks, she's alone. She's not going to have a lot of political influence. She's not going to have a lot of religious influence. She's not going to have a lot of financial backing. She's not going to have a lot of anything. And look what it says about Jesus. It said he saw her and he had compassion on her. This is not driving by on the highway saying, "Oh, I feel sorry for them." No, this is I look at her and I compassion. Feel the same thing. He looks at her and sees how she really is and feels what she's feeling. And so guess what he decided to do? He decided to help her. We live in a world, and we're blessed in this nation. We are blessed in this nation. We've got all kinds of agencies, government agencies. We've got all kinds of religious, non-profit agencies that'll take care of older folks that need some help. We're not talking about if you got agencies. We're not talking about if you got nonprofit organizations and if you've given your contribution to them. No. Do you see people? You want to learn to be like Jesus? Open your eyes. We're so busy. I know we're so busy, but sometimes the busy we are is we've manufactured to keep us from seeing things. Let's slow down a bit In all of our busy, let's not forget to live. And let's start to watch and start to notice. And you see the woman, the older woman who needs to be comforted, do what you can to comfort her. Does she need a yard mowed? Does she need somebody to take her to the grocery store? Does she need somebody to help paint her house? Does she need somebody to just take her to the doctor? There's something you can do. That's how you learn to be like Jesus, is you do it. It's not, now, the church program, Thursday night, we all meet to go visit old ladies. Okay, that's good. If you got a church program that visits old ladies, please go. But this is not about church programs, y'all. This is about us. This is about us noticing people. You walking into the grocery store, and the door's too heavy. Most of them are automatic now, thank goodness. But you ever go to a doctor's office and the door's too heavy for the little old lady to open? Open it. Start to see and show that you care. That's being like Jesus. You keep looking in chapter 7 and you're going to find out he has supper with a rich religious snob. Boy, I'm telling you, I love everybody. Except them people don't love me. Not Jesus. Jesus went to supper even with folks that didn't care about Him at all. He was just trying to impress Jesus, just trying to find out what made Jesus tick, and Jesus showed up for supper. He was a self-righteous snob of a religious person. And Jesus didn't back away from him. Jesus accepted him and sat down. Well, I'm not going to go to those people. That's just a bunch of hypocrites. Can I take a minute? I went through maybe everybody does. Did you have a bad time in your life where you thought everybody in the church that you came from was hypocrites? I guess it happens a lot when you go to college and you get smarter than everybody. And usually at that time you get smarter than God because you start making decisions that you think are wonderful and they end up banging you around for the rest of your life, right? I'm telling you, when I got to that point that I just thought everybody in the world, everybody who went to church was a hypocrite if they didn't see things like I saw it. I was talking to an old preacher about that, and I was just bemoaning the fact that all these hypocrites went to church, all these hypocrites did this, all these hypocrites did that. And he said, well, Rex, tell you what. He said, if you give up on the church, if you give up on the church because of hypocrites, all you're going to end up doing is spending eternity with them. And I thought, ooh. So let's be careful. Before we start calling people hypocrites, let's make sure we know what we're talking about, and I'm not for sure we ever would. But before we start pulling away from religious people because we think they think we're better, they are better than us, and we know we're better than them, maybe we ought to just do like Jesus and sit down with them, have supper. Accept them where they are. Now, while he's having that supper, a woman comes in and says she was a sinful woman. Now, the Bible doesn't say what her sin was. I know preachers who know, and they'll tell you. The Bible doesn't say it, but maybe they know something I don't know. And I'm glad it didn't say what she did, because some of us then would have said, whoa, I've never done that. Well, when it says she was sinful, guess what? That's us. And so she came in and she's at Jesus' feet and she's bawling her eyes out and she's using her hair, which is an incredible thing, ladies, isn't it? She's using her hair to wipe his dirty feet. Nobody's washed his feet since he got there. And you know what he did with that sinful woman? He accepted her just like he accepted the hypocrite. You want to know how to deal with hypocrites? Watch Jesus. You want to know how to deal with people who've done things so bad that their hearts are broken? Hearts are broken almost as much as their life is broken? Watch Jesus. Jesus accepts that woman. Jesus accepts that woman, and he does that in spite of what the hypocrite thinks. One more time. Jesus accepts that sinner in spite of what the hypocrite thinks, and then tries to teach the hypocrite still. Now, the hypocrite didn't receive it. The sinful woman did. But you want to be like Jesus? Watch him deal with people. Watch him with the hypocrite. Watch him pleading with that hypocrite to love God because of what he's been given. And watch him love that sinful woman that nobody wanted to be around. Watch him accept her. And let's learn to be like Jesus that way. Look in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Says Jesus was praying. That most of the time when you read a passage it says Jesus was praying, what are the disciples doing? They're sleeping. I understand. I sit down on my couch at home after work. If I shut my eyes to pray, I'm meditating. That's what I'm doing. I know it's hard. And they had, every time Jesus turned around, he was praying, right? He prayed early in the morning before anybody else got up. Mark chapter 1 says that. Mark chapter 6 says he prayed all night. I mean, sometimes he prayed while he stood over a grave. And sometimes he prayed in the boat. I'm telling you, Jesus was a praying man. And the disciples watch him, and they finally ask him, and I love it what they said. He said, Lord, would you teach us to pray? Now, I know there's a place where the disciples, the Lord said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he does that. But I love the fact that they said here, teach us to pray. Because that's what I need teaching on. I don't need to know the 8 steps of successful praying. I had a book. I had a book one time. Powerful Positive Prayers. And the guy's premise was this, that if you worded your prayer just right, God was bound to answer you. Had to. So basically, you could manipulate God if you used the right words. That one scared me. I don't have it in my library anymore. That's not right. What I want to learn to do is, though, is to pray. Now, I'm pretty good at the flare prayer. You know what the flare prayer is? Same thing as the scare prayer. When you get scared, what do? Oh, Lord, help me. Please help me. And if you help me out of this, I promise I won't ever do that again. Oh, please help me get it. Have you prayed that prayer? How would you like to pray that way when you're not scared to death? I want to pray. I want to learn to be like Jesus. I want to learn to pray. And that's what he taught them. And he said, I tell you what, you guys, learn this prayer. Learn to pray this way. Pray, our Father, heart in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He teaches them that prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer because he said it. But here it could be called the disciples' prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's his Matthew Sermon on the Mount version. But he's teaching them not just how to pray, he's teaching them to pray. Have you got in a bad habit of just praying when you're in trouble? Then spend some time with Jesus and let him train you to be a person that prays. I'm no example of anything except maybe what not to do. But because of our studies on Saturday morning in the ladies' Bible class out of the book of Numbers, I'm learning something that's right now is helping me be more prayerful. Those folks went through tough, tough times. And they would get upset with God. They'd go to complaining. They'd get upset with everybody else because they didn't have what they wanted. And God taught them. First thing you do is thank God for what you have. Start trying it. When you get so frustrated with your life, you just can't stand it. When you get so frustrated with your life, you just can't stand it. Start this way. Start thanking God for everything that you have. Start thanking God for the things that you have that you thank God for. And watch what happens. And then, after you finish that thanking God, then you ask God for what you want. Don't shortchange that. Don't shortcut it. Thank Him for what you have first. And then ask Him for what you want. And don't be bashful. Tell Him. We've talked about it. You know, the Psalms teaches us to lay our requests before the Lord in the morning. Lay it out there and let Him know what you want. Hey. You pull up to McDonald's, you don't yell into the speaker, I want some food. They'll say, well, would you like an apple pie with that? I mean, no. That's, you know, they're not going to know what to give you. Now, God knows what to give us, but if we lay our request, why don't we tell Him what we want? Tell Him what you want. Because honest, sometimes when you don't know what you want, you don't know whether He answered it or not. So figure out what you really want and ask Him. Because then when He gives it to Him, you have something to say thank you for. And in all of that, you just trust God for what you need. Trust God for what you need. Man, there's so many places. Luke 15. You got to see Luke 15. Read the first couple of verses and tell me what nasty thing they were saying about. What nasty thing were they saying about Jesus? Ooh, this man welcomes sinners. He receives sinners. Some of us who grew up going to big church and learning all the rules forgot the reason that there were rules is because there were people that needed help. Jesus knows that people become before. Jesus knows that people become before. They are a priority. They come before all other kind of principles. People come first. He accepts sinners. So much so in Luke 19, when he's walking through the town and that little fellow's hanging out in that tree, while everybody else wants him to ignore him because he's a Jew and the Romans hate him, and he works for the Romans so the Jews hate him, and he's a rich person so the poor folks hate him, and he's a tax collector so the rich folks hate him. And he just climbed the best tree in town, and so now everybody hates him. The only good thing about him, he was short. You know? Nobody gave him place to see. Nobody gave him a place to see the parade. Nobody gave him a chance to see Jesus. So he just made his own, climbed that tree, and while everybody wants to ignore him, Jesus stops. We do that? Or are we too busy? I just don't think about it. Well, maybe it's time we start thinking about it. Let's learn to be like Jesus and let's notice people. There are people that nobody else wants to include that Jesus would include. And if I'm going to learn to be like Jesus, I watch Him and I learn to include people like Zacchaeus. Other sinners like Zacchaeus. In this book, and we're done. In this book, you're going to see Jesus love kids. We'll talk more about that in our meeting afterwards. But you're going to watch Jesus love kids. You're going to watch Jesus love old ladies. You're going to watch Jesus accept and teach, try to teach hypocrites. And you're going to watch Him save shameful, old nasty sinners. A thief will scream at Him, curse at Him, but then change his mind and say, "Would you remember me?" And Jesus grabs him. Takes him to paradise when they go. And while they spat on him and whipped him and shamed him and mocked him, he prayed, "Father, forgive them." You want to be like Jesus? Spend some time training with Him. Become His apprentice and see what He does and then do it. See what He does and then act on it. And it's not about church programs. It's not about, all right, somebody going to organize us? And no, it's about living. It's not about programming. It's not about order, organization. It's about my life, me deciding that I'm going to be like Jesus and I'm going to let His Word train me. The very people He trained, the very people that He spent 3.5 years training, He told them at the end of this book, Luke 24, He told them, "I want you to tell everybody. I want you to go everywhere and tell everybody that they can follow Me to heaven." Let's leave this place that same way. Let's live our lives that same way. Wherever we go, whatever we do, let's be like Jesus and watch and see if we can't help people follow us as we follow Jesus.